When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Honorton County.
Honorton Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business.
And we are back with Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I've been an interior designer in the tri-state area for the past 18 years. And our show is all about letting you know things that we're working on, projects, things that are very current, things you can do to make your home more valuable, things if you're a DIYer, like our show today is all about gallery walls, things you can do, taking those pictures that you haven't shoved in drawers or cabinets, the back of a closet, and so on, and bring those pictures out and create something with them, create an art project, do a gallery wall, bring them together in a beautiful aesthetic way, and be able every time you come in to look at those pictures. Don't have them be on your computer. Print them and actually have them out and enjoy them every time you come in and have your friends and neighbors enjoy them as well. So our phone lines are open. We did have a call from Central New Jersey, and if someone else would like to give us a call, we're almost at the end of time. We have about 3 minutes left. The phone number is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. You can call in with your gallery wall experiences. So as I was saying, I did one in a nursery. We had to make sure that it wasn't too close to the crib, because as the child grows, you don't want them to get hurt by the pictures, but we did it high enough that it wouldn't be in harm's way. But that was sort of a nice thing, I think, comforting for the child to have pictures of the parents and grandparents right there above the crib. So that was a pretty one that we did all in white. Again, I've done all in black. I've painted frames too. A painted frame makes a nice look on a wall. I did a gallery wall where we did the couple loved red. So we bought all white frames, and then we got some craft paint, and we paint them all in red. And they went up on the wall in a grid. This case, it was a square, and we had all different shapes. And they came together almost like it was the grid that it created just from the red images, all squares and rectangles, was beautiful. I mean, it was a pretty image in itself. And then we did all black and white pictures with the red frames, and that was really very striking. But you can do something very old-fashioned with old pictures. That kind of looks nice, too, if you could do something. Maybe you have an old Victorian, and you get all old pictures of parents and great-grandparents, and you do them in sort of classic frames with all different shapes and so on, and ovals and rounds and so on, and you put them together maybe going down the stairs, but make sure that it has a rhythm to it. They're in the same color tone, or they have the same finish. There has to be some sort of a proportional element to them with the room. So in fact, if you have a very small room, you want to have a proportionally amount of pictures together where there's sort of a visual beginning and end for them to work. If you're going downstairs, don't also run them boom, boom, boom in a row, because that's not very interesting looking. But map out within the confines of the space there, the sheetrock, an area, and then selectively place them. Have you ever seen people do that? They hang pictures and they just hang them going down the hallway just in an even row. That's a terrible look. Also, when you're hanging pictures, make sure that you don't hang your pictures too high. Most people make the mistake of hanging their pictures too high. You want your pictures to be at eye level. And that's got to be somewhat relative, because I'm a 6'2" guy, so I probably would hang my pictures higher than some of my clients who may be 5 foot tall. So, but we want to make sure that we hang our art not too high. Use sort of a center median. I take the person when I'm doing them professionally. I take the homeowners and I put them in front of the space, and I look at where their eye level is collectively. And if there's two of them, then I find a median between the two of them as the start point, and then when we work beyond that. Also, again, things that you want to avoid when you do gallery walls, you don't want to put them in areas that have a lot of natural light coming in, because that can certainly ruin the images over time. And one of the things that we haven't talked about is in dark spaces, if you have maybe an upstairs hallway, or those sometimes tend to be dark spaces, it's an opportunity to create beautiful ambient light. I did a gallery wall in Flemington in a beautiful house. We put a two-story addition on, a family room addition. And on the upstairs of the addition, there was a catwalk, if you will. There was a small catwalk. And it was a relatively dark space. So one of the things that I opted to do was create a gallery wall there. There we made all the pictures in black and white, and it told the story of a beautiful family. And then we got beautiful frames. The frames were all different. They were related to the colors that were in the lower family room, and lots of the tones that were in those colors, but all different color frames with the black and white pictures. And we created a family grid, which was very pleasing to them. But then we added art lights to it, and that made it over the top. So we added some beautiful art lights. You can get the battery-operated ones, which are often difficult to maintain over time. But these were actually to a center lower switch. And at night when they entertain, they can hit that switch of lights, and this this band of lights at the top went down. And then
complex web. It will be very, very difficult to untangle it.
But Dr. Ben Carson says he's not ready to untangle it just yet.
And we still have millions saying on Facebook, you cannot leave us.
Speaking to supporters in Baltimore as Super Tuesday results rolled in, Carson said he's been somewhat discouraged by the political process since he jumped into the race. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are Super Tuesday's big winners. Clinton and Trump cemented their status as the front runners in the 2016 presidential campaign Tuesday with victories across the country. They locked up 7 wins each. The leader of the Republican Party says the turnout on Super Tuesday proves America wants a change from Democrats. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus says Democrats are not energized by Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Neighbors of Apple's fenced-in complex in Northern California say they've been hearing strange noises around the clock. Sunnyvale residents say he's been somewhat discouraged by the political process since he jumped into the race. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are Super Tuesday's big winners. Clinton and Trump cemented their status as the front runners in the 2016 presidential campaign Tuesday with victories across the country. They locked up 7 wins each. The leader of the Republican Party says the turnout on Super Tuesday proves America wants a change from Democrats. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus says Democrats are not energized by Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Neighbors of Apple's fenced-in complex in Northern California say they've been hearing strange noises around the clock. Sunnyvale residents say they're hearing random banging, thumps, and loud humming or buzzing at all hours. This is USA Radio News.
And now, a touching moment. Well, staying in touch with Geico.
It was a warm summer day. I was just sitting on a porch watching a babbling brook roll by. Then, out of the blue, I got an update from my Geico app saying my claim had been processed. I felt so connected to nature, to Geico. I stayed there the whole afternoon until that guy told me to stop trespassing on his porch. Sheesh, what was his problem?
Claim status updates, just a few taps away on the Geico app.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to come in and speak with someone?
Negative, Control. With Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Here from Hunterdon Chamber Radio Station, high above the CenturyLink Towers. This is Kim Pramatic here with Raising Conscious Kids Radio. Coming up next, but first the weather, and then we'll be right back with Raising Conscious Kids Radio. Stay tuned.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
And the weather today here in Hunterdon County in Flemington, today mostly breezy and sunny with a high of 41. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 21, that's Fahrenheit. Thursday, increasing clouds with a high of 38. Thursday night, 40% chance of snow, then going up to 70% chance of snow. So it looks like not too much of a development as far as accumulation, but a little bit of snow. Then Friday, still another chance of snow. Very interesting here in heading towards spring, but still technically winter. So, yeah, it looks like less than a 1 inch accumulation is possible. So just enjoy maybe the last little bit of snow here in Hunterdon County and enjoy the nice cool weather because spring is on its way. And we'll be right back with Raising Conscious Kids Radio.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Get to a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And good morning, everyone. This is Kim Pramatic here at Raising Conscious Kids Radio. Here at Raising Conscious Kids Radio, we're here to provide support, information, inspiration for parents, teachers, caregivers, just really everyone that's responsible for bringing up this next generation of kids, our next leaders. And that ranges from support from really prenatal through, hey, our kids are always our kids, right? My daughter, my oldest, is now 18, and I'm not one of those people that says, oh, time flies and you'll see. But what I can say is it is shocking to me that she is, you know, dorming in college right now. You know, a blessing, of course, but it is shocking. So my mantra is just enjoy each day because you know, each day is truly a gift. Each day is a blessing, and that's why I call it the present. So we cover a lot of different topics here on Raising Conscious Kids Radio, and we bring in guests, amazing guests from around the globe, really. We've had people from all over, all different countries. And sometimes, if you don't know me, I have had my background is in IT, so I did that, and I really enjoyed it for many, many years until I had my daughter, and then everything changed for me. I don't know if you can relate, that first time, you know, holding your baby in your arms, whether you're a mom or a dad or, you know, you've adopted or whatever your situation may be, you know, that first time holding them in your arms, you know, you'll never forget it. So having kids totally changed my life and my career and my focus. And so I weaned my way out, interesting choice of words, because I'm very very much an advocate of breastfeeding. So I weaned my way off my IT corporate consulting gig that I had at the time. And I spent a couple of years raising my kids, especially when they were young, because what I learned was that our kids' personalities, our kids' thought patterns, our kids' way of living, their mental chatter, their mental thought processes, they're really developed. The experts now are saying prenatal, that means, yes, your thoughts, if you are pregnant right now, your thoughts and feelings and emotions do impact the baby. It just makes sense, right? Where you're one, it's a symbiotic relationship there, or at least a one-way relationship. And so the thoughts really are affecting from prenatal through, say, depending on the expert or study that you're looking at, age 6 to age 8. So for those reasons, I really chose to spend the first couple of years with my kids at home, and it was just such a blessing to be able to take that time with them. And really what led me to do that was that I had lost my own mom when I was 21, and it was very unexpected. And so I have a different perspective maybe than some of you who, you know, are blessed to still have both your parents and, you know, that support system. I didn't have that. And so I think life's experiences teach us different things. And so what it taught me was, you know, I really want to fully embrace this blessing that I've been given, which is called being a parent. So that is, oh, and then once I get into that, my next career kind of just evolved in corporate training, coaching, and the Raising Conscious Kids platform evolved from that. I'm the founder, and we're a global network. If you're not a member, it's free community, and you can go to raisingconscious.com and join us there. And I send about an email maybe once a week, sometimes not even that much, but just to let people know what's going on, you know, what kind of support we're doing, what kind of interviews, all that kind of stuff. So all good things, and I'm not going to overload your email box, because I do spend a lot of time during the day deleting emails and going through emails. So it's something that I'm very, very aware of. So today on Raising Conscious Kids Radio, sometimes we go broad and sometimes we go deep. Today we're going deep. As I was kind of thinking about what to talk about today, what to train about today, I was kind of going back through some notes that I had done. I did a very intensive residential training program with one of my mentors, Patrick Collard. And one of the things that I learned in studying with him was a concept called birth scripts. And so it's fascinating. So I invite you to just enjoy this time. See if, you know, what parts of it you're familiar with, what parts maybe new material for you, but it's really a fascinating way to understand why, first of all, we do what we do. Some of our patterns and conditioning goes back to the birth process itself. It's fascinating. And then the other thing is, you know, why our kids do and behave and react sometimes the way they do. And, you know, why our spouse or significant other responds the way that they do. So, yeah, every time you do something unfamiliar, you reactivate your birth script. So your birth script is an old way of taking in something new. You can relinquish the old way. You can acknowledge it and move on. But as we know, the first step is really acknowledging it, right? The first step in any kind of change is whether you say, okay, you know, we're bringing the dark to the light, we're shining a light on it, we're bringing it to our consciousness. The first step is the acknowledgement of it. So just let's dive in. So except for some brain cells, all the cells which were in our bodies at birth have long since been replaced. Nonetheless, we carry and continue to recreate the most negative thought. You know, we've heard of negative belief, and really it's a lie from the past. And we carry that most negative thought unnecessarily. We've been living up to the limit of the lie and stopping. We've been living a life based on rumors, and still we have been getting results. Imagine the results we can get with the truth. We are bigger than our conditioning. We're bigger than our case. We're bigger than the negative thought, the negative lie, the lie that we've been telling ourselves. And we're bigger than our conditioning. So let's get in. There are a lot of different scenarios that we have. And you could just, if you don't know your own birth scenario, you can have a talk with someone in your family. But certainly as I'm going through, and I invite you to think about your child's, you know, your birth experience with your child. And we're just going to go in alphabetical order. So the first scenario, the first way that a baby can be born is breech. So this is, breech is, refers to the baby's position in the womb. So the baby, basically this means feet first. It's a breech baby. So the baby might turn at or before birth, but if the baby is indeed born breech, there are some tendencies and some issues for people with this way of coming into the world. So remember, the baby is going from this experience of being in the womb. So what's it like in there? Well, it's warm, right? Ideal temperature. It's dark, right? So it's dark. It's warm. It's what they know so far. I mean, just the whole miracle of, you know, starting from a cell and then two cells and dividing and dividing and dividing and, you know, those some cells differentiating into all the different organs. I mean, life is such a mystery and a miracle. And so when you think about it, okay, the baby's been in there for around 9 months. And then, you know, there are different ways that the baby, you know, is coming out, either with some assistance, like my kids, or just everything goes, you know, a la nature, very naturally. And so with the, this is the first experience of being totally in symbiosis with the mother, in total, you know, comfort. And then, boom, they're born. So it's kind of traumatic, you know, not only for us as moms and parents, but also for the baby. So the things to know about a breech, tendencies and issues for people with this birth script of breech. They tend to do things backwards. like they give the impression of walking in, but are ready to walk out at the same time. They can feel unwanted. Sometimes their parents fought during the pregnancy, or they were a secret, or mom was embarrassed about being pregnant. They can be addicted to struggle, like walking against the crowd. If something's easy, they don't trust it. They're great debaters. They're right. And the world is wrong, at least according to them. Everyone is, well, can we say the word? I'll say an a-hole. They frequently use the world, not just the judgment or attitude. They have breathing problems sometimes. This can result in stomach or intestinal problem if fluid is involved. They can feel trapped and experience no exit terror. So no exit terror is having the feeling of they won't be able to get out. So for instance, and I can relate to this, I can speak to this because when I learned about my particular birth script, it was right on. So usually if they're in a room, if they go into a room with a bunch of chairs, like for a seminar or something, they're going to sit on the chair on the side of the door so that they can get out easier. Sitting next to the window, on the window side, say of a classroom or a seminar room or something, sitting on the window side is not as comfortable, can feel claustrophobic. I know it because when we get to my birth script, you'll hear about that. When they can, they sit backwards on a plane and would rather not sit in the middle seat on the plane. Right? Because they want to get out. They observe a lot and would prefer to not really participate. They're afraid of people talking behind their backs, but they set people up to do just that so that they could believe in this comment. They hold their breath a lot during listening. They're very emotional and then realize something. The last place they get something is in their heads. And if turned around before delivery, they get it. They get afraid and confused in the womb, but then they're okay with the change. So fascinating, right? So their most negative thought, and this is a lot of the most negative thoughts that, and I hope that you've heard about this, and I hope I'm doing a good job of explaining it. The most negative thought is, Like Eckhart Tolle is talking about this. A lot of teachers have talked about this. It's the subconscious idea that if it's not identified, it's kind of running the show behind the scenes. And so this is that conditioning that we were talking about earlier. So I just want to give you the most negative thought so you can identify it within yourself, within your spouse, within your kids, and even within your friends. The most negative thought is, I am a secret. I'm not wanted. I'm wrong. Or I hurt people, since birth was painful to the mother. So that is the breach. Let's move on to the C-section. In general, people who were delivered via C-section or cesarean section are used to struggling and try to change history. Fascinating, huh? So tendencies and issues of the unplanned C-section. They're great at starting things, but they don't or can't finish them. If the baby had already dropped and an unplanned C-section was performed, they hurry up and wait and then do things very quickly. So you could see how that would relate to, you know, getting into the into place to being born and then C-section. So hurry up and then wait and then do things quickly. They can be a bit neurotic in sales because the competition is coming. And the competition plays the role of the doctor at birth. There are light sleepers who don't mind being awakened or interrupted, as this seems familiar. They are used to struggle and trying to change history. Now, there can be a planned C-section, right? So the issues are slightly different. Tendencies and issues of the planned C-section. They're great finishers, but they don't or can't start them. Planned C-sections do not take suggestions or criticism well. They feel the person is taking their choice away. They resent the criticism and suggestion. They resent and resist authority figure helping or trying to help them and support them. Asking them, what's good for you, will drive them crazy. They feel they're being robbed of choice. Planned C-sections are more supported by authority figures. They're salespeople, managers, and friends who close deals. They're light sleepers who mind being awakened and resent interruptions. So they can have, so tendencies and issues common to both, so C-sections that are planned or unplanned, they have a love-hate relationship with authority figures, so the doctor, the father, the school teacher, etc. They do all the work, and the authority figure gets all the credit. They make great secretaries and film editors. They are always in a rush, trying to beat the doctor, competing with the inevitable, such as other people stepping in and taking the credit. They attract and expect interruptions. This is fascinating. Watch for this. Watch, and how this can play out is if someone is talking in a group, let's say, and the because I've seen this, you know, I learned this 15 years ago, so I've had a lot of observation of this. So when you say they attract and expect interruptions, if your child is in a group and they don't tend to speak out a lot or their friends are cutting them off quite a bit, what you can see is they'll pause or they'll wait and then somebody else with another birth script will jump in. So these are the kind of things that you can identify. Now you can have an idea of where it came from and help them with that, because it can get frustrating to be interrupted all the time, right? When speaking, they don't finish their sentences. Well, that can lead to interruptions too, right? They walk off without finishing directions. They build space into their speech, space which invites interruptions. They don't have to go from A to Z. Once they get over the guilt of not doing something the hard way, they can show us the easy way out, the shortcuts, and how to create authority figures who are supportive and helpful. So, where they sit in a room, they rarely sit on their own. They create a delivery team around them. In otherwise empty rooms, people will gravitate around them. This is fascinating, and watch and see how this plays out. Now, what's their most negative thought? I'm incomplete. I'm not good enough. Or I am not enough. Next we'll do cord around the neck. So this actually happens to be the birth script of my teacher, Patrick Collard. He has passed. So this was his birth script, and he was actually born, it was wrapped around there so tightly that they declared him dead when he was born, and he was revived. And then he recreated that situation many times in his life, especially around huge events. They had done an infomercial about him and his amazing work. I mean, he's worked for different governments. He had, he's worked personally on 10,000 people, 10,000 clients. And that's before the internet was big. So this was like in person. He trained in India. I mean, he was amazing. Shout out to Patrick. So cord around the neck. The cord can be wrapped around at birth or earlier. The cord can also get tangled around an arm or a foot and sometimes untangles itself before birth. So tendencies and issues for people with this birth script. They feel unwanted. It could be that their parents wanted sex and not to conceive a child. They're the wrong sex or feel they are based on parental or sibling expectations. They're a financial burden or fear of becoming one. They might have either reaction. So let's go shopping to prove they're a burden, or they always buy their own things to prove they're not a burden. They're smokers because they like to see the breath. Proof that they made it at birth. They tend to cough, clear their throats, and otherwise make a lot of noise before speaking. You ever hear people like that? I definitely noticed that. They have a fear of things around their neck. Ties, ropes, etc. They have a lot of throat issues. They're prone to the polite syndrome and cannot say no easily. They're big pleasers. They give no matter how much it hurts. They tend to create excitement or crisis depending on how traumatic birth was for them. The more trauma there is, the more alive they feel. So basically, just to reiterate, this is because what are they doing? They're recreating that initial experience with the world, right? They're recreating that. So the more trauma there is, having a cord wrapped around your neck, that's a lot of trauma. And so that's their first experience of being alive outside the womb and alive and breathing and everything on their own. So when they recreate that excitement or crisis, a la the birth script, they feel alive. Women who get acknowledged a lot during pregnancy often become afraid to have their babies because they will lose the attention. The babies pick up on this and anchor themselves in place with a cord. Wow. They're not big fans of old Western movies. The ropes and the hanging. When they speak, they tend to choke up about happy things, not sad ones, and to clear their throats. It's a lot of stuff around the throat, right? They may dream and have a fear of snakes. What would that be? The umbilical cord, right? The cord being tangled around the neck or shoulder, possibly briefly, in the womb is not uncommon. It would cut oxygen and create fear. A fear of snakes is a good indication of the cord being wrapped around their neck in the womb. Deep stuff here. So where they sit in the room, they usually sit in front so no one can get to them. Their most negative thought, I don't belong. I am wrong. I'm not wanted. I'm bad. And I don't matter. And what's the purpose of identifying the most negative thought? Well, to identify it so that we could do the work to change it, right? Oh, so time is flying. It is time for a break. We're going to be back with more Raising Conscious Kids Radio. We're going deep today, I know, folks. But it is, this work is profound. So hope you're hanging in there with us. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors here at Raising Conscious Kids Radio. That's raisingconsciouskids.com, where you can find our free membership. Be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And we're back from our commercial break. Thank you to our sponsors here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And this is Raising Conscious Kids Radio, and we are talking about birth scripts. How we make our way into the world can affect the rest of our lives. And so the key is to become conscious of it so that when we see it, we can use our processes to heal it, to transform it, and to not be negatively impacted by it. The first is being conscious of it. So let's talk about the births fast or held back. They actually have similar responses. Now, so my delivery was fast, and so this is fun for me to look at again. So tendencies and issues for people with a fast or a held back birth script. So what is held back? Held back is, oh, wait, the doctor's not here yet. Held back is, yes, you're fully dilated, but don't push yet. That's what we mean by held back. Fast is, my mom said, and so I'm the second born, and fast is 2 pushes and I was out. Lucky mom. My mom is lucky, huh? So tendencies and issues. They create barriers to breakthrough. They will often say, I'm up against a wall, or I'm out of here. They are impatient. Sometimes they get things fast and easy, and they consider this negative. If things are too easy, they get nervous and wait for the other shoe to fall. They have no exit terror and need lots of room around them or a door nearby. So if they're going into a room for a seminar, they're going to sit on the side by the door and as close to a door, either in the front or the back as possible. Or they sit right against the wall saying, they can't stop me. Their most negative thought, I can't. If they were fast, they overreact and feel they can't. If they were held back, they feel stuck. Another negative thought can be, I'm not enough. Another negative thought can be, I am stuck. So, like I said, we're going in alphabetical order. The next is forceps. So tendencies and issues for people with this birth script. They don't trust choice. Well, because they were delivered with forceps, right? Forceps and all the variations thereof. Now there are different things today. Okay, they don't trust choice. They don't feel safe unless they're forced, i.e. forced into an action. But they dislike being forced. If you make up their minds for them, they get upset. They rub their foreheads when trying to make up their minds. They can have headaches. They can have TMJ, which is a jaw pain, jaw condition. Eye, teeth, sinus, and allergy problems. They are stubborn. This is about I won't rather than I can't. They make great rebels. As rebels, they go up against authority. At a certain point, they get attacked, and whatever they are rebelling against becomes the authority. They shoot themselves in the feet financially. They wait so long. Now they have to do something before stepping themselves into action, i.e. their job was not ideal. The job requires the action to be done. They have a love-hate relationship with authority figures. They have them, but need them to get through, just like needing the doctor at birth. They'll scream, I won't, while silently screaming to themselves, I have to. They thrive on praise from an authority figure that they rebel against. They have resentment because they can get angry and are afraid to express the anger. And when we say resentment, resentment is anger plus fear. Resentment is anger plus fear. That's an aha one. That's an aha moment right there. To have resentment because someone will force them to do something they do not want to do. The other person might say, it's for your own good, or trust me, to force or forcep the action. They hold their breath a lot, forcepping the exhale. When speaking, they have to force themselves to tell the truth. They feel compelled to clear. They're often motivated by someone forcing them. They play with their eyebrows a lot. They squint because being seen equals being forcepped. They punish themselves too much. So where do they sit in a room? Well, they try and hide somewhere, anywhere. They don't want to get caught. If they were induced and forcepped, they will sit in the debater's chair, which is in the middle of the back row. Their most negative thought is, I'm not wanted, I'm not good enough, or I'm separate. So, next birth script we're looking at, induced. So, for those babies that were induced, here are the tendencies and issues for people with this birth script. They like to observe rather than participate. If they participate, they feel like they're induced. Their peripheral awareness is outside of the group. They can't stand groups or crowds because of the inducement of participation. They have a love-hate relationship with authority figures. They do not like surprises or things done for them without their permission. They're light sleepers, always on the alert. They thrive in crisis situations. They never let another person book their appointments. The best way to get them to do something is to tell them they can't. Know anybody like that? They can have addictive personalities. They want to go up high and down low, but they also want non-disturbance. They appear organized emotionally and literally until you open their closets, emotional closet, actual closets, and emotional closets. They're skeptical but give their power away to intellectuals and doctors because they trust the authority figure's attitude and knowledge. Their hobbies and occupations might include scuba diving, skydiving, gambling, ambulance driving, being a flight attendant, police, football player. These all have a you can't get me or I got you element to them. Their reaction is agitation and being disturbed. They always look annoyed. They use their eyebrows a lot. They can like drugs such as cocaine, crack, coffee, cigarettes, and chocolate. They do not give you a chance to communicate because they feel induced or controlled. They have timing issues. Do not rush them or get annoyed if they're late. They're master debaters. When speaking, they're prone to argue. There's no value unless there's an inducement and the argument gets energy up enough for things to be worthwhile. The doctor made them come early or forced them to take action. They may consequently have the thought, I'm wrong and I have to change. If they feel too alive, they start to look for an affair to exit the relationship. Where do they sit in a room? No, they sit in the back or on the sides. They sit close to an exit. What's their most negative thought? I can't. I'm not good enough. I'm wrong. I don't belong. What's the birth script of a premature baby, a premature birth? Premature as opposed to early. In other words, they had complications due to an early birth. So the tendencies and issues for people with a premature birth script, they can ask, what's wrong with me? Any kind of help will hurt. Imagine a baby in an incubator, you know, being poked and prodded. That's their first experience in life. They cannot stand to be controlled. Through confined body language or excess body weight, they recreate the incubator so people will leave them alone. They lose weight, becoming too thin or sickly to get attention. They feel like they're not enough. They have a Napoleon complex, overcompensating for their size and feeling they're not enough. They're major debaters. They're constantly performing. They hide the truth because they're afraid if they tell the truth, you will leave them alone. They are photosensitive because their eyes were not fully developed at birth. They have bad eyesight and wear glasses, recreating the incubator walls. They work behind glass walls or windows, recreating the incubator walls. They focus on what is going to happen rather than what is happening now, the premature state of anxiety versus being in the present. They want to help but don't want to be seen, so they're anonymous donors. They're polite when someone gives them a compliment. They're caught off guard and look like they will cry as if you really hurt them. They have a mismatched relationship, like extreme differences in body types or a Beauty and the Beast mismatch. They are passive-aggressive with authority figures. They have no exit terror if they were put into the incubator too long. If left in the incubator for 1 or 2 weeks, they feel they need to get away from toxic environments or have to get back to the incubator. If you categorize things for them like putting things into an incubator box, they can understand more easily. They feel disconnected or separate. So where do they sit in a room? They sit really close as long as they wear glasses. They sit by invisible walls or glass if they're not wearing glasses. Their most negative thought, I'm not enough. Something is wrong with me. I can't. I'm stuck. And I'm incomplete. Heavy stuff here, right? I want to conclude here with the last two for twins. And so this is if the experience we're talking about, in case you're just joining us, we're talking about your experience and your baby's experience at birth is called the birth script. And it can play out, especially when you're coming into new situations, i.e. birth, these thought patterns, these ways of being, this conditioning can play out over and over and over again. And yes, it can be changed when we bring awareness to it first. So twins, tendencies and issues, more for identical twins than fraternal twins. And just a side note, there are possibly as much as 60% of conceptions are actually twins, and then the other gets reabsorbed. So these feelings can occur even when there wasn't a twin physically, you know, that developed. So if you or your child is having these type of things, maybe this is why. Okay. So they feel incomplete. They resent conforming. They have triangle relationships. It's always them and someone else. They give too much. They receive too much or can't get enough. They have a hard time hanging on to things as if the other twin will watch things for them and therefore they don't have to pay attention to them. They have a fear of intimacy, not tied in with space. They get close to someone and then push the person away. They don't like individual attention. They feel guilty when they get too much attention. They have the attitude of being in the know, on the inside track, etc., and that others are left out, like inside jokes and we know something and you don't attitude. They're misunderstood. They are perfectionists. They marry people who look like them. The couple looks like brother and sister. They have a hard time staying in one place. They leave to create their own identity, as if reacting to the frequent question, which one are you? They have mixed signals between emotional and mental. They may be anorexic, psychotic, or have multiple personalities. Firstborn twins often feel guilty. The secondborn twins can feel anger because they feel like they were almost overlooked or almost didn't make it. They tend to be very intuitive and even psychic. If they do not validate and acknowledge their intuition, they can become psychotic. They might have absorbed the twin in the first trimester. An extra lobe on the placenta is a sign of this. And an estimated 60% of conceptions are absorbed twins. People's looking for the soulmate is like looking for the absorbed twin they still miss. They feel guilt or feel incomplete as the surviving twin. Where they sit in a room? Well, they sit in groups of two. They sit next to someone who gets a lot of attention since they're used to being part of a team. And what's their most negative thought that can be following them? I'm incomplete. I don't matter, especially for the second twin. And I want to end with the underwater birth. And this is what Patrick, who really taught me the whole concept of birth scripts and has really helped so much in understanding myself, my spouse, friends, my kids, and clients and other people. I mean, you might need to listen to this again, but it is fascinating, and you probably will see correlations now that you know. So what Patrick did for his daughter was an underwater birth. So the wet, warm environment in the womb, so the wet, warm environment at birth does not create separation point as in other births. So what are some of the tendencies and issues for people with the underwater birth script? They have a difficult time cutting the cord from mom. Once the hormones kick in, if they become their own parent, they then make a quick shift from clinging to mother to ignoring her. They trust support. They do not believe in society's limitations. They do not allow structure to limit them. Structure is seen as something to play with, not as a limitation. They create unusual lifestyles, such as homeschooling. They love water, dolphins, the ocean, except right after birth when they associate water with being returned to the womb. They think they are special, like a prince or a princess. They are good receivers. They do not struggle. They panic a lot and go into fear. They are very sensitive. Policy means nothing to them. Why is an ongoing question. make sure the policy is rational, even pragmatic. They communicate well and can be quite blunt. They have a difficult time knowing them that things are done. The cord was not cut out of trauma, and so there was no separation anxiety. Before puberty, they have a fear of being taken away from someone. Where they sit in the room? They sit anywhere they want. They have no boundaries about where to sit. Their most negative thought, I am different, I'm strange, I'm separate from everyone else due to how they were born. I have to be a surprise or special. I have to be perfect. So, that was a crash course on birth scripts. And again, a birth script is how did we go from transitioning from the warm, watery, dark womb into wherever we were born, whether it was at a hospital in a chilly room with bright lights. Many of us were hung upside down by our ankles, by our feet, and slapped on the bottoms. Yeah, a lot of different ways to be born, a lot of different scenarios. We didn't get into the effects of sedation and all that. That can have an effect. We did not get into whether the mother was taking drugs during the pregnancy. I just wanted to cover the scenarios that would most likely affect our audience here and our community. So just inviting you to the awareness of the birth script. You know, I just feel like any way that we can understand each other better, especially our children, is helpful. These things can be, you know, so ingrained. And that's why when we talk about bringing consciousness to parenting, bringing consciousness to our choices, to our responding. So instead of just reacting to that behavior, we can have more compassion, more empathy with not only our children, but our spouses and, hey, with ourselves, you know, in that these things can go way, way back and be stored at a level that is hard to even comprehend and put into words. But with awareness comes change. And that is why we're here. That's why we do this work. So our step today was awareness, and we have lots of tools and techniques and allowances for the change. But let's start today with some compassion, more awareness, more consciousness. And hey, if you're pregnant, that's a heads up for you to really go into your delivery in a conscious way. So, this is Kim Pramatic with Raising Conscious Kids Radio. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for being a part of our community and sharing this energy of raising our next generation of happy, healthy kids and successful families. And just want to just address something that's been on my mind and heart lately is looking at all the money that's being spent in, you know, elections and war and all these different things that we're spending money on as a society, as a world. And it's just unbelievable to me that we have hungry children, that we have starving children, that we have starving babies on the planet today. So please join me in visioning, in creating, in doing whatever we can to eliminate that. Let's eradicate having hungry children in this world. It's just too much to think of hungry babies and starving babies. And
you're USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
ISIS now is targeting Jewish children at schools, sufficient enough to pull out military servicemen, family members.
The Pentagon is ordering the families of hundreds of U.S. military members living in southern Turkey to leave. This evacuation order comes just days before Turkey's president meets with Vice President Joe Biden in Washington for a nuclear security summit. About 700 family members and other U.S. civilians assigned to an air base in Turkey are affected.
We had six operatives taken into custody, ISIS operatives from the caliphate who basically have been talking about this imminent threat.
The State Department says the decision was made out of an abundance of caution.